Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
If the president doesn't try to reach out and reward these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long, will we? We'll know by Monday. Fortunately, we had an excellent set of employment numbers today. At least it makes it less likely a crash will necessarily lead to a recession. But if President Trump stays intransigent and does nothing to ameliorate the damage that I saw these last 2 days, I'm not going to be constructive here. I will contain my anger, but only because I lived through 87, and in the end, I came out okay. I was in cash for the crash.
Are you really doing
I know what this feels
commentary
like.
On the economy if your sleeves aren't pushed back? Because I feel like you're not. If your sleeves aren't pushed back, then are you really doing commentary on the economy? You know? So that's Jim Cramer, and we have to talk about inverse Cramer, which is sort of like a Marvel universe, multiverse sort of thing. And it's only because he gets everything wrong so many times. Like when he says to do something, you're supposed to do the exact opposite of the thing that he's suggesting.
Yeah.
And that's how you know that you're doing the right thing. That's how we do our economy now. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. Whatever the opposite of what he says. Because guys, I got to tell you, you know, I was reliably informed that all hell. I'm really disappointed. Like I went out and I prepared. I'm not disappointed that the economy isn't in the sewer. I'm disappointed in that I went out and you know, I like prepared for all hell to break loose, Kane. I was told we were going to be eating our pets. Got some sharper knives, you know, the whole nine yards. And then it ended up not being a Black Monday. Like I thought people would, you know, I thought there was going to be a run on banks. It was going to be mass hysteria. And it's just like a regular old Monday. What happened? I was reliably informed. I was told all last week. I was told all over the weekend, all hell is going to break loose, guys. All hell. Are you ready for all the hell that's happening? And it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Nope.
And then not only that, but then we've got some updates. Some of these other countries are going, hey, FYI, we want 0-to-0 tariffs. Psst. Hey, we want some zeros. So we're going to talk about all this today. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour on Monday, and we are going to go through the Black Monday that didn't happen, I guess, right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it seems like. The Black Monday didn't happen. It didn't happen. And so I have this story here because I will say that this is not without the press trying, guys. The press really tried to do this. A friend of mine over at Red State captured it because they were really the media was rallying for disaster. And this just, I think, also goes to show you for whatever they say about social media works until it doesn't. And this is one of those instances where social media was very influential in what the market was doing. Futures showed another bad day for stocks. And then you had all three major markets. They were preparing for a big old drop. And it kind of happened, but it had to do with this 90-day pause on tariffs. So I saw these headlines this morning. I was wondering where it came from. This is one of the first things I saw this morning. CNBC, who else? Kane, Reuters, everybody and their brother. They were talking about, well, you know, we got this pause on tariffs. This is audio soundbite 30. Listen to this because this was the White House press secretary responding to it.
Spoke to Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, on the phone just a short time ago, and she tells me it is quote unquote fake news that the White House is considering a 90-day pause. So the White House pouring cold water on this idea, wherever it came from, that they are considering a 90-day pause on tariffs, saying that the president is committed to his tariff regime and any reports that he's considering a 90-day pause are quote fake news.
Now see, but that's not what was reported all morning, literally all morning. Yours truly. I saw headline after headline saying that all of this is there's going to be a 90-day pause on tariffs. And then, of course, the market reacted. Stocks flew. NASDAQ and S&P 500, they were at or above 3% gains. And it was a fake report. And then you had the White House's Rapid Response 47 on social media. They had to come out really fast with a rebuttal saying no. And you just heard part of that. And then, I mean, watching it live within a second, maybe a second, they drop back into the red. And then they climbed a little bit, and then they dropped. So it's volatile. That's like, it's market uncertainty, which is what's driving all of this. But that's a very interesting, damn you, media. Right? I mean, why would you guys do this stuff? Yeah, you know what we heard? I heard that, just make something up. Media ran with it. Media ran with it. So the clearly what the lesson is that the White House is incredibly influential, all of this. Is it going to be temporary? Is it not? Everyone who's telling you that they know what's going to happen is lying. They don't. So just, you know, just sort of settle in. That's the best advice I have. Great advice, isn't it, Kane? Life lessons from, it's a life hack from Dana Loesch. Life hack. It's a life hack. Now, can we talk about Panikins? Because,
yeah.
No, I don't like the name.
No.
I am, for the first time in my life, disappointed in a nickname from POTUS. I feel let down. Like I just watched my, like I watched, you know, if you're a dad and you're watching your son learn to throw and you realize, oh, he can't catch, can't throw either. It's that same feeling, sinking feeling. Trump decided he created the Panikin. It sounded like a form of mannequin, honestly, but it's the way that they put it. It's his response to people who, I guess, are flipping out about everything that following all of the media. They're following all of it. And they had me pull this up. He had tweeted out, well, not tweeted out, it was on Truth Social, quote, "The United States has a chance to do something that should have been done decades ago. Don't be weak. Don't be stupid. Don't be a panickin, a new party based on weak and stupid people. Be strong, courageous, and patient, and greatness will be the result." And then he capitalizes certain words the way my mom does. I think it's a boomer thing. I think that, no offense, boomers, I'm just pointing out something y'all do, right? I'm just, how millennials say like with everything, you guys like to capitalize weird
stuff.
You just
have to read it louder at that point.
Okay, let me read it. So the United States has a chance to do something that should have been done decades ago.
There you go.
Don't be weak.
There you go.
Don't be stupid. Don't be a panickin. Almost sounds like a messed up penguin. A new party based on weak and stupid people. So, yeah, that makes a little bit of sense, I guess. Like, but I still don't like the name Panikin. It's like a pelican. Zombie monster pelican,
right?
Something. I'm not sure what I think about a Panikin. I've got some other names for them. Not Panikin. Panikin's not one of them, but I do have, you know, I got some other names. But he's, you know, obviously, that's his pep talk. He's given his pep talk, like, follow me into this, trust me, trust the plan. And the problem is that everybody's got a take, including everybody in the Republican Party and everybody in his administration. They all have takes to give, right? And when you have so many people out there adding to so much noise, POTUS's, I think, focus on this gets generally lost, right? I think it gets generally lost. But I think what we've learned today is that Black Monday didn't happen and that the markets actually are, I mean, our economy is still pretty strong, although I do agree with what Carol Roth said when she was on the program on Friday. You know, whether or not something like this is sustainable, that's another debate. But using it as leverage, yeah, I mean, I get the point of using it as leverage and making an actual, you know, equalizing, having actual equal trade. But I also think that a lot of people don't know what tariffs are. And I think a lot of people, this just, and I get it because you didn't go to be an economist or an investment banker. And it doesn't help that all the people that you look, everybody's fighting over it. I mean, I think that's part of what's driving a lot of this uncertainty, especially from the right. And Kane, to you, I think that that's what's driving a lot of this is the, It is all in flux because it's based on a negotiating tactic from the White House, which is not really like anything Wall Street's had to predict before or investors have had to predict before.
I mean, people have to understand that the top like 10% of people that actually own the, these are Wall Street that right. owns most of what's the stock market, essentially the paper that represents these companies. So Main Street isn't suffering as much as Wall Street right now.
Main Street isn't. Well, I will say one thing I get worried about is the price increases, especially as it pertains to small businesses, because we went through hell with COVID for small businesses. Small businesses just about finished off mom and pop stores all around the country. And so I get a little nervous whenever I see people's prices go up, whenever I see orders being canceled to some of these small businesses, when I watch them struggle, because we went through this already. And I just don't want to see what COVID didn't finish off that these, that, you know, maybe tariffs may. Keynes sees it as leveling the playing field. Yeah. But at what cost, though? This
Imagine
is where you
a small
do have
business,
to be concerned.
But a small business has a hard time competing with larger conglomerates. If we're allowing these countries to come in and do that without paying, without, you know what I mean, without doing the necessary things that we should be doing as a country and requiring them to do, then that's going to be the problem. Mm. And that's what we've been seeing for decades now. We've allowed this to happen where it's cheaper to send the jobs overseas yeah. than it is to actually manufacture here. Trump has flipped that coin, and now it's going to be cheaper to manufacture here than it is to import from other places. That, to me, is leveling the playing field for small business.
Do they actually make a panic and tip line?
What?
Something I saw.
Did they really?
I don't know. I was just asking.
I don't know.
We're going to come back to this because this is there's a lot here. Also, the we're still waiting for the House to do something. It'd be great. We need tax cuts sooner than later. That's for certain on this. The hands-off AstroTurf thing happened over this weekend. I totally forgot. Didn't even affect my life. Did you guys see any of these morons out in the streets? I say it because they're upset literally over Tesla and whoever knows what else. I've never seen people be so upset at government accountability. Like, oh, the government's wasting your money, taxpayer dollars that they're not allowed to spend under Article 1, Section 8. So what say you? And they get upset over it. How dare you? How dare you stop the government waste, fraud, and abuse? We love waste, fraud, and abuse. They're upset. So they've been having this hands-off, I don't know, they've had them all over. There were tens of people that came out to them. To be honest, I didn't really pay attention to any of it. Unless I see it in the streets, it's just not bothering me. And I didn't see anybody doing any of that. I think they had like some out around the country. They had a couple of people go out and speak. They had some in Dallas. They had what was the goal? Nobody knows the goal. They all went out there. Nobody knows what the hell they were out there for. They just all went out in the streets and nobody knows why. Oh, you noticed that they were mostly old. So no offense, because I feel like the conservative boomers really don't like the Marxist boomers. You know, there's like two sets of boomers. There's the one, you know, that, well, they're like my parents or my mom, who's just kind of like in the middle and, you know, watches, you know, she's conservative, but she doesn't really fit into one of these niches. Then you have the peaceful hippie boomers that just want to be left alone, right? And they want to go out in the woods and live a Snow White life, talk to the animals, you know. Nature, grounding, all, which is basically walking barefoot, but whatever. You know, they just want to go out there and live their best lives. Then you have the Marxist boomers who are not satisfied unless everybody's is equally as miserable as they are. Those were all of the people that were out at these events. They were all like the mean old communist boomers that were out in the streets. No idea who these people are. No idea what they accomplished. They don't know either. Burn a gun, BYRNA, the non-firearm firearm, whether it's, restriction, a municipal restriction or private property restrictions, you want to make sure that you're still able to protect yourself. And I always tell people, carry. I have zero issue using lethal force, but I also believe in making sure that I have a diversified weapons cache. And so that's where Burn a Gun comes in. I mean, for crying out loud, you have different calibers and you'll carry blades. It's completely understandable to have something that you can take as a way to defend yourself when you're going into quote unquote gun-free zones. And, if you live in Washington, D.C. or New York or have to work in some of these areas where, you know, you don't feel safe in walking your car at night. And I have friends who have gone out because of those exact reasons, and they've gotten a Byrna gun. In fact, the Byrna SD, that's the best-selling model, and I think that's the most realistic model for this particular need. You can choose your color, the projectiles, accessories, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles from up to 50 feet away, and it can deter those threats. And it still provides a powerful deterrent. And in addition to that, it requires no background checks, no permits. It can be shipped directly to your door. There's no waiting period. It's legal in all 50 states, so it's accessible for everybody, and there's no recoil. It's super easy to use with quick deployment, and it has a 5-round capacity. So already, when you compare that to regular stun guns, tasers, that they have maybe 1 or 2 rounds, this is 5. Way better. So this is the perfect time to reevaluate your self-defense options. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, that's B-Y-R-N-A, and get 10% off your purchase. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Elon's not cutting Medicare, just the billions in waste of it. As the left freaks out claiming Elon Musk is going to cut Medicare, remember during Obamacare when health insurers got double paid by Medicaid for hundreds of thousands of patients and our government didn't check?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, tariffs have sparked a U.S. junk bond sell-off as recession risks mount. And of course, because they know that what they have is losing value quickly. This is coming from, Financial Times. They're saying corporate credit is the canary in the coal mine for a faltering economy. Most of this stuff, look, I'm just going to tell you guys, a lot of the speculation is nonsense. It's just so stupid. I don't want to contribute to that. We're not going to contribute to the speculation and nonsense. But I think that there's some genuine concerns, but there's also some genuine gains. So let's watch and wait and see what happens. Meanwhile, hedge funds hit with the steepest margin since the 2020 COVID crisis. This also, you know, we were supposed to have Black Monday. I was waiting for like a night. What was it? 1920s, 30s? The big old market crash. Yeah, people were throwing themselves off buildings. Thought that's what we were. I was told that's what was going to happen. We were going to wake up with that. And instead, now banks are asking clients to stump up additional money as global market sell-off knocks the values of holdings. Hedge funds, biggest margin since the Rona. Kamala Harris is being praised by Hollywood donors for quote-unquote, gosh, this is such a tiring headline. Gosh, cliched, ripping Trump and corporate capitulation to unconstitutional threats. Deadline Hollywood has it. She was telling a bunch of rich people out in Hollywood, and they're saying, oh, that's great. We need more of that. Does this mean that, are they going to try to run her again?
No.
I mean, I don't even know why she's out speaking, because she doesn't raise money. She's never been able to raise money, ever. So I'm just kind of, you know, I don't know. Let's see here. A battle to keep, this is crazy. Influencers are trying to contact an uncontactable tribe. And they said they were nearly exterminated by a Coke can. It's a Bay of Bengal. It's an island, a remote island. And governments are trying to keep influencers away from this tribe. Stay with us. I want to go there. Partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends at Gold Co. Precious Metals. The economy. I mean, we're all waiting for everything to kind of get normalized. Of course, we need tax cuts because it's not going to be great until we get that. But anyway, you can get your free 2025 gold and silver kit today, and you could qualify for up to 10% in bonus silver when you visit through DanaLikesGold.com. Goldman Sachs research, they raised the gold price forecast to $3,100 by the end of the year. That's underpinned by higher than expected demand from central banks. So now is the time to move. Now is the time to buy. It's easy and transparent to do with Gold Co., a strong supporter of the show. Nobody knows metals inside and out better than them. You can secure your future with Gold Co. Investing in metals is straightforward and reliable. And with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. And experience matters when it comes to protecting your wealth. Gold Co. has that experience. They've helped thousands of people secure their financial futures with gold and silver. And they've been with our program since the beginning, so they know what they're doing. You can secure your future and trust Gold Co. 6,000 plus five-star reviews, an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. I mean, they are literally the number one rated gold company in the country. So call now, request their free 2025 Gold Co. Kit, or actually visit their website now and learn how to diversify and safeguard your savings today. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Join the thousands who've called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company, and you can get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to 10% in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show, where I was a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. In Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun, and God uses imperfect people all the time. And I'm just seeing these similarities in how he's using President Trump and how he's used other actual king in this country. We have a king in the form of the deep state. Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hope it is agreed that both Europe and the United States should move, ideally, in my view, to a zero tariff situation, effectively creating a free trade zone between Europe and North America.
There's some daylight there between Musk and Trump. I think to an extent there's some nuance as well. I think that he recognizes the manner in which this is all being applied, but at the same time, you know, he would love for zero tariffs. I think everybody, that would be great, right? But we don't live in a kittens and sunshine world. I don't think it's as big of a deal as the media is trying to make it out to be, like, oh, wow, there's daylight. Yeah, because, you know, you're not going to have people who agree 1,000% on every single thing. So I don't think that that's a huge deal. Although I do think it's interesting. And if you've never, it's an oldie but a goodie. This is an amazing video. It's a 2-minute lesson from Milton Friedman, who he was very much against tariffs. And he was, you know, arguing about, you know, like, for instance, using something as simple as a pencil and how it's not central planning, but rather it's, you know, the free market and the free exchange of goods and ideas. This is such a great soundbite. And Musk had also tweeted it. Oldie but a goodie, listen.
This lead pencil. There's not a single person in the world who could make this pencil. Remarkable statement? Not at all. The wood from which it's made, for all I know, comes from a tree that was cut down in the state of Washington. To cut down that tree, it took a saw. To make the saw, it took steel. To make the steel, it took iron ore. This black center, we call it lead, but it's really graphite, compressed graphite. I'm not sure where it comes from, but I think it comes from some mines in South America. This red top up here, the eraser, bit of rubber, probably comes from Malaya, where the rubber tree isn't even native. It was imported from South America by some businessmen with the help of the British government. This brass ferrule, I haven't the slightest idea where it came from, or the yellow paint, or the paint that made the black lines, or the glue that holds it together. Literally thousands of people cooperated to make this pencil. People who don't speak the same language, who practice different religions, who might hate one another if they ever met. When you go down to the store and buy this pencil, you are in effect trading a few minutes of your time for a few seconds of the time of all those thousands of people. What brought them together and induced them to cooperate to make this pencil? There was no commissar sending out orders from some central office. It was a magic of the price system, the impersonal operation of prices that brought them together and got them to cooperate to make this pencil so that you could have it for a trifling sum. That is why the operation of the free market is so essential, not only to promote productive efficiency, but even more, to foster harmony and peace among the peoples of the world.
That is a very interesting point there. And I find that it, you know, it's kind of absent in a lot of these discussions that are being had. And that's, of course, Milton Friedman, the pencil lesson, which is, you know, I always thought it was such a great short little lesson. But he gets into, you know, as well, yes, you have all of these different groups of people who, for this purpose, they're working together, and they're that's what he, you know, he's alluding to when he talks about peace and harmony. It's a very Randian, you know, Ayn Randian kind of philosophy, but he's exactly right. It promotes efficiency, and it does foster harmony and peace because people are creating something. I think that's such a great analogy for all of this. I do agree, and there's a couple, you know, the media is trying to figure out how to focus on this as a best way to use it as a weapon, but it, you know, Musk and I think what he and Peter Navarro, they're on opposite ends of this. He says he wants a zero tariff situation with Europe. The EU did approach and say that, you know, from early reports that they would like, you know, zero tariffs. You know, that's one of the things that they've, you know, we'll wait and see. Although this is changing, like, you know, day by day. But the Musk had criticized Peter Navarro, saying that he wanted a zero tariff situation between the United States and Europe. And he made a couple of comments about Navarro. So clearly he doesn't agree. He had tweeted at one point, a PhD in econ from Harvard is a bad thing, not a good thing. Results in the ego / brains greater than one problem. And he, somebody else had chimed in and said that Navarro was correct in his assessment of tariffs, in which Musk replied, he ain't built redacted. And of course, Navarro hit back and said that he's only protecting his own interests, as any business person would do. Well, I mean, I think business, when you're talking about protecting your own interests, I think you're also talking about protecting your jobs and, you know, the people who fill those job roles. But I'm really let down by all the news. It's not the disaster you all thought. So operate normally, right? I think at the end, when do you think this gets resolved, Kane? Nobody knows, and that's part of this uncertainty that's fueling all of this. Nobody knows.
Once we hit the bottom, as far as the panic selling goes, there's only the thing is, look, no one realizes losses until they sell. So if you don't want to realize any losses, just don't sell. Just hang tight. Everybody knows that whenever we go through these, whether it be from 1987 to 2008 to 2020 to now, everything has always gone up gradually after such a correction. And the same will happen here.
I just think that all of this is going to be for nothing. If Congress, and I know I say this and I probably sound like a broken record, but it's so incredibly important. I can't overemphasize it enough. None of this is going to matter anything if Congress can't get it together. It's all going to suck. If Congress doesn't act and make some relief permanent, this is going to be a disaster of epic proportions. And there is nothing that anyone can say to the contrary on this. If we don't have tax cuts made permanent, we will essentially be living under double taxation. That's got to change. We should have tax cuts permanent anyway. I mean, good night. But if we don't have a better business climate created in the United States, where we have an even further lowering of corporate tax rate, where we have a lot of these regulations and restrictions with regard to new businesses, et cetera, et cetera. If we don't deregulate and cut federal spending, none of this is going to matter. We are still going to be right in the same place fiscally. The only way that moves like this make sense is if you follow it up with actual permanent action. Because nobody's going to want to slog through this and pay an exorbitant, god-awful amount of tax every year. Nobody's going to want to slog through this and have nothing change afterwards, or have just double taxation because of tariffs. Nobody's going to want to go through all of that for nothing. You can't do one without the other. It makes sense when there's relief for the average, everyday American. Scott Bessent brought this up when he talked about wages, real net wages. This was, I can't remember what this was on. Audio sent by 13.
Kristen, what I like is data. And if we look at data from President Trump's first term, and there's a big study that just came out from a group of economists, mostly at MIT, that showed that a 20% tariff on China led to a 0.7% tax or price level increase over 4 years. I think that's pretty good. If we can take in 20% in tariffs and it's a 0.7% increase, and Kristen, the little publicized story this week, everyone wants to look at the stock market going down. You know what else went down? Oil prices went down almost 15% in 2 days, which impacts working Americans much more than the stock market does. Interest rates hit their low for the year, so I'm expecting the mortgage applications.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is what hits average Americans more than anything. That makes sense. I'm just saying we got to have more from Congress. We can't have Congress fighting on the thing about the proxy voting enrages me. We have some of the dumbest members in Congress. It's impossible. Impossible. Speaking of which, by the way, and it's interesting, Mike Johnson got Trump to go back and not support the proxy voting thing. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I guess give credit to Mike Johnson on that one. He apparently was able to convince POTUS. Yeah, the proxy voting is a bad thing. Remember when Nancy Pelosi and all of them were trying to do it during COVID? Guys, remember that? Why in the hell would we embrace it? So he got him to walk back, and it's actually conservative women that helped defeat it in Congress. There was not a single Republican woman that supported it. Not one. So that was big news. The fact that we spent an inordinate amount of time last week on that than anything else is pretty insufferable, I think. I mean, we've got people that are worried about what's going to happen with them in the future. They're worried about what's going to happen with their retirement, with their 401ks. And you had Congress fighting over this stuff, like in Texas right now. In Texas, in Austin, some of the stupidest stuff I've ever seen. You know, I look at this stuff, I'm in a very cynical mood today, and I think, why in the world do we support having Republican supermajority if they're not going to give you anything different than what Democrats would? Why? What is the point? What makes having a Republican supermajority so special? Because so far in two different red states, we've seen nothing but disappointment. I expect it from Democrats, but not these tranny Republicans, meaning that they're Democrats cosplaying as Republicans. So this is, it's doesn't make any sense. This, you know, like in Texas, instead of talking about property tax relief, they're talking about checks, notes, banning THC, which has been legal and there's no issues. And they decided that what we need right now are some laws and regulations on this out of nowhere. That's what they're focusing on right now. I can't even make it up if I tried. Instead of property tax relief. Seriously. I'm telling you what, if Republicans don't get it together and give fiscal tax relief, oh, I am all for a very impolite Tea Party 3.0. I mean, and by impolite, I mean, well, just let your imagination run wild. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. There's no point. Where's the return on my investment for my support of these insufferable people? What have you given me? Nothing. I haven't gotten any tax relief. What are we waiting for? We need permanent tax relief. We need actual fiscal policy. We need a balanced budget. We need all of these things. Why do we not have them? There's no excuse anymore from these people. At some point, voters need to start demanding results instead of being made to dance and act as cheerleaders for subpar, sucktastic Republicans. It's done. It's infuriating. Makes me just, livid. I don't like anybody. The older I get, the less I like actually literally anybody in politics. But that's what they're doing down in Austin right now. We'll come back to that. Our partners, of course, all this brought to you by people who support the program, people like Tax Network USA. It's the government theft agency. You know, they want their money so that they can go and spend it on trans education in South Africa. Very important. I'm not kidding. So here's the thing. You don't want to deal with the IRS by yourself. Everybody knows it. It's kind of like the big official unwritten rule, right? You need Tax Network USA. They are the biggest entity that deals with the IRS. Not only that, they are the most successful resolution company that deals with the IRS because you're dealing with experienced experts. They have actually resolved over $1 billion in tax debt, delivering real results for clients across the country. It doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. They have tailored strategies that will settle your issues in your favor. They got preferred direct lines to the IRS agents that they know they can talk with. They know which ones to avoid and which ones to tell you to avoid. So schedule your complimentary consultation. Talk with a Tax Network USA strategist, 1-800-958-1000, or visit tnusa.com/Dana and have your debt reduced or eliminated. It's free to talk with their strategist. Stop the anxiety. Stop the threatening letters. Schedule your complimentary consultation today. 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Democrats now insist they have a huge momentum shift after those special elections turned out pretty much like we thought they would. President Trump has the audacity to claim he should be able to decide who works for him. And Trump makes the media look like Wile E. Coyote again over comments about a third term. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So, for the people who voted for Trump or have supported Trump, can you finally just admit you were wrong? Trump has spent his entire life bankrupting businesses, and now, surprise, surprise, he's bankrupting the United States. So look, we can move on, but if you supported Trump or voted for him, just please, finally, now, just admit you were wrong.
I call that guy an old lesbian, but it's an insult to actual lesbians, I think. Why does he just like, he looks like an old woman. That's Moby. Remember Moby? Nobody remembers Moby. Was he ever, like, I don't know. I never got into his stuff, but he was a little too poppy for me. But what is he mad about? Like, what did Trump not deliver on so far? I got deportations, tax cuts, I'm waiting for him. But, so like, what is Moby, what's that old lady upset about? I'm just curious. These people come out of the woodwork. Bless his little soft jaw heart. Seriously, I've never seen anybody, he looks like a child's drawing of a person. He's so disproportionate in all the weakest ways. It's difficult to look at him. And then his neck tattoos, I don't know, is that to hide the loose skin on his neck? I'm not quite sure what's happening here. I don't know. Is that mean? I just don't like him. I find him annoying. He's one of those, well, actually, people, right? Everybody knows somebody like that. Ugh, can't. I'm not a fan of Moby. Were you a fan of Moby's music, Kane? I wasn't.
No, I was familiar with it, but no.
Yeah. I like the people who are like, oh, I love electronic music. I like Moby. And I'm like, oh, dude, yeah, okay. Oh, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are in a very weird, cynical, Daria-esque mode today. And I'm just going to sit back and watch all these people who are economically illiterate confuse the hell out of everybody and drive uncertainty in the markets, Kane. That's what we're doing today. I know that they were all saying it was Black Monday, but I think it's just everybody's confused Monday, really, you know. But POTUS, still, I'm not really into panicking yet. The party name, it sounds like a pelican that's an Anakin Skywalker fan. I'm just not into it. Like, there's got to be, just call them what they are. Just dumbasses. Just, you know, anything. But the White House had denied that 90-day pause that the media was fueling and made the markets go wild. We'll talk more about that. We're also going to talk to, coming up, Grover Norquist on the taxes. with all of this. As you know, he only is concerned with the taxes and how that translates for the middle class. And we're going to talk with him about some of that. And like I said, too, none of this is going to matter if we don't have a more hospitable business climate. None of it's going to matter. I mean, this is a weird Rube Goldberg way to finagle what we could be doing with better domestic policy, like a Rube Goldberg machine. I actually just watched a video on those the other day. It's like that, where we could, you know, to create a better business climate. We're going to talk about that and more coming up. Stick with us, second hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy has all of the medications that you need without anything being manufactured at all or sourced from China or even India. It's all right here made in the USA, which I think is incredibly important, especially if we're talking about becoming more self-sufficient with things like antibiotics, etc., because that's what All Family Pharmacy does. You don't have to play by Big Pharma's rules. Remember when they tried to shut down actual therapeutics and access to those therapeutics? Remember when they tried to bar you from getting ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and that you were being told that you were crazy if you had those? Yeah, but hey, take this injection. We don't know what it does, but go ahead and take it. They didn't just dismiss the alternatives. They crushed your ability to get them. All Family Pharmacy is about access and affordability. It's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. Straightforward pricing, online ordering. You can get your meds in just 2 to 4 days, or if you need them in a pinch, overnight. Your health is always within reach. I've used them many times before. You can also get your everyday maintenance medications, too. They make it super simple, fast shipping, no gatekeepers, and again, made right here in the U.S. of A. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off using promo code Dana10. Protect yourself and your family today at allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. And my friend, our listener, Vegas Larry, that's his official name. He's going to have to get like a satin jacket with it on as many times as we shout him out on the show. He made this. This is an actually great point. And I retweeted it. He said, everyone who wanted student loan forgiveness, they're all of a sudden economic experts on tariffs. I was telling Kane over the radio break that, and I was trying to find it. Someone actually was trying to op-ed the whole Black Friday thing and how it doesn't exist right now because we don't have a Black Friday, and they're trying to say, oh well, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean like literally Friday, people, the Black Monday thing, like what. Kane, what were the headlines Friday?
Yeah, that weird.
It's all going to be Black Monday. We're all going to die today.
Like
it didn't happen. So now the left is like, well, it doesn't literally mean like my. What? Yes, it does, actually.
It's in the name.
Yeah, it does actually mean that. Anything that they can do. So at what point, look, I'm not going to sit here and talk about it nonstop because I'm not going to engage in the speculation. That's what I don't like. I don't like the speculation because at some point, you know, we know the tenets of free market and we know the tenets of good economic policy. And, you know, there's only so much to be said of it. But, you know, at the same time, I can't stand getting into the speculation of stuff and making people freak out unnecessarily. Right. I kind of am one of those. I'm going to just stay and sort of bob in the water here and watch and see what happens because it all changes so dramatically day to day. I mean, for crying out loud, Kane, it's like the EU is now saying, yeah, we would like to have zero tariff. We'd like to have, you know, a zero tariff policy. So let's talk about how maybe perhaps we can do that. Okay. Yeah.
Cut 10, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. The cut 10. Listen.
These tariffs come first and foremost at immense costs for U.S. consumers and businesses. But at the same time, they have a massive impact on the global economy, especially hard hit are the developing countries. And this is a major turning point for the United States. Nonetheless, we stand ready to negotiate with the United States. Indeed, we have offered zero-for-zero tariffs for industrial goods, as we have successfully done with many other trading partners.
So that's Ursula von der Leyen. She's the head of the European Union. She's the head of the EU. And so that's she's coming and saying, yes, we'd love to be able to have no tariffs. Let's talk about how we can make this possible. Great. Let's do it. Let's make, okay then, let's have that. I'm okay with it. And I'm okay if it's all on China. We need to really start purchasing less from China anyway. And we're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this coming up. So these are all great things, right? Can I just change your gears totally for a moment? We'll come back to this. Can I just go back to this? I had it in the headline. It was a brief headline. And the reason that I am bringing the story up to discuss this particular totally not in news at all story today is because I really feel like we all should go here and take it over. And then we become the tribesmen, and then we can shoot arrows at anyone who wants to try to get near us. I see the headlines like I've been seeing with the tariff craziness, and it makes me want to go to this island. So it's the Bay of Bengal. And in the vast expanse, let me put on my David Attenborough hat, in the vast expanse that is the Bay of Bengal, there lies North Sentinel Island, a remote speck of land that is fiercely guarded by both the Indian Navy and its indigenous inhabitants, people known as the Sentinelese. It is a tribe, the population of which we can only estimate maybe between 50 and 200, right? They are classified as uncontacted. They are isolated, and they respond in the same manner that I do when unwanted guests appear, with lethal force. They don't like drop-bys. Don't think that you're going to just scooch on over and knock on their door. It's not going to happen. And they are protected in part because the Indian government and others do not want them contracting any kind of potential diseases from outsiders to which they've no immunity. And so there are strict prohibitions on approaching the island. So they've declared the island and all of the surrounding waters to be an exclusion zone. And they enforce this with a regular naval patrol. And any unauthorized entry is highly illegal. And you are forbidden to contact the tribe at all. Now, they do this not because they're going to necessarily fine you, but because you will be killed to death by the Sentinelese. They are legally permitted to defend their territory, even up to the point of killing trespassers. And now they've had hapless fishermen. There was a determined Christian missionary. All have gained access, and they all met grisly ends there. Now, last Monday, not this Black Monday, Kane, but last Monday, there was an American tourist. Now, if you said, oh boy, I already know where this is going, Dana. Yes, you do. Down to the description of said tourist. Said tourist, again, you know how I have a thing about, because I think it looks bad and it just isn't the same. White people with dreadlocks, particularly if you're blonde, don't do it like this guy did. So that's his first problem, right? You look like a tourist. Stop that. He's an American tourist. He traveled to a restricted reserve on North Sentinel Island, and he left behind a can of Coca-Cola as an offering so that the most isolated tribe in the world could try it. The experts branded this guy's attempt as a deeply disturbing stunt. Not only did he put himself in danger, but the entire Sentinelese tribe, they could contract a common disease like socialism or something, and it could kill all of them. There's no education at, by the way, is the actual vaccine for socialism. Did you know that? It's true. It's you don't even have to get a shot, just there. So he was arrested. He's 24 years old. He was arrested when he returned to land. And they were warning him, like, you could have been killed to death. You know this, right? Because they will kill you and eat you. Well, maybe not eat you, but they'll totally kill you. They've inhabited this place for 30 to 38,000 years. I don't know if I believe that. But they're there. They're indigenous. And you don't want to mess with them because they will literally come out and just throw a barrage of arrows at you. It will rain down and block out the sun. Didn't Xerxes say that when he was battling the 300? The arrows will block out the sun. And so I don't know why people are hell-bent on contacting them. What if, though, to get away, because if I have to put up with any more of these press headlines, what if we just act like we're there? Like, oh, no, we're here. We've been here this whole time. Just go and show up and we'll act like we're members of the tribe. That way, we don't have to watch these insane headlines and all of the weeping and gnashing of teeth about the economic or not downfall. Would you go there, Cain? But you like grounding and bacteria tea.
Yeah. I can do that wherever I want.
You like hippie stuff. These are like professional hippies.
You're really throwing that professional word around.
Well, I mean, by our society's measurement, they are. Yeah.
Still a lot of heavy lifting.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm just
professional.
Saying. Yeah. I mean, they're.
I don't see it.
This is where I think that if we don't go there, we should send the panickins there.
Yeah.
It still sounds like I'm talking about a bird, doesn't it? I don't like Trump's nickname. I'm really disappointed. It's the first time I've never not liked a nickname. That's what he's calling Chuck's notes. It'll the weak the new, and stupid people.
It'll be the new Galapagos. We'll just put all the panickins there.
They're like pangolins, but dumb. Well, what can you tell us? This is an indigenous panickin. Oh, yes. They're bulbous heads. And very dumb, very dumb beasts of burden. They are the panickins. Don't they sound? They sound like a weird flightless bird, panickins. So just saying. All right, some of the other the things that we've been watching. Obviously, the tariffs. I'm not going to be kill. Why also? Can I ask this question? Why is it? And this is what I wanted to bring up last. This is one of our last segments, but we ran out of time. So CNN has announced that they're hosting a town hall with four battleground members of Congress. You've got Lawler out of New York, McKenzie out of Pennsylvania. Those are the two Republicans. And then you have the two Democrats, Tran out of California and Hayes out of Connecticut, moderated by Jake Tapper and Caitlin Collins. And it's going to be this week. Why are they doing this? It's going to be a 2 minutes hate sesh. It'll be like Parkland Light. Why in the world are they doing this? Because I got to be honest with you, I feel like the comms people that work with these particular battleground folks, that they're not going to adequately prep these lawmakers, how much you want to bet. And it's going to be a bunch of Democrats that are going to get up and they're going to scream and gnash teeth. And why are you letting Elon Musk steal all of our monies and all of these other things? That's what you're going to hear nonstop. There's not going to be any kind of resolution or ground of agreement to be had. It is literally a way to make money from a 2 minutes hate session. Yeah, you agree, Kane. That's,
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand the point of doing these. I told a congressional member that had one of these town halls, and of course it was a 2 minutes hate session. I'm like, why did you even have this? I'm like, these are not, first off, these people are arguably not even in your district, number one. Number two, this isn't about having an open and honest discussion. It's a bunch of socialists that want to screech at you. That's it. And take videos of themselves screeching at you so that they can put it up on Instagram and act like they're a hard ass later. That's all they want. That's all this is. Why would you even participate in this? This is not a good faith town hall. For real, a good faith town hall. Why don't you have a good faith town hall about Tesla at a Tesla dealership and see how well that goes? You guys remember the one town hall that we had? This was after the shooting of Gabby Giffords that took place, and there was a tea party. I still talk to him every now and then. He was the head of the Tucson Tea Party, and they threatened to kill him. Like, this guy stood up and threatened to kill him, like, live on air at a CNN town hall. You remember that, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
And CNN was like, nah. Anyway, you guys remember that? That's kind of how they view the town halls. So I don't, why is any Republican doing this? If you're in a battleground, this isn't the way to do it. Yeah, I'm just saying this is not the way to try to like get an advantage. So you guys are very familiar with Super Beats, and you're familiar with the chews, but there's also the Super Barine product, which they came out with last year. And the Super Barine, again, same people who make the Super Beats heart chews and the Super Beats powder, the Super Barine helps to support healthy metabolism and blood sugar. And you can use Super Barine. In fact, they have a coupon now, $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. So it's just $24.98. It's plant-based. It's doctor-formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian fruit extract. So you get additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support. And it has a nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. And grapeseed extract is used for greater tolerability. So visit Sam's Club and restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with the Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. Super Barine is $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. Snag this offer at Sam's Club while it lasts. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
They're really trying to get you to freak out over bird flu. They're saying, oh my gosh, bird flu could be heading north this spring. Fewer federal health officials are working to stop it. I don't care. It's a virus. It's just, that's the way it is. Just wash your hands. Don't be gross and don't eat dead birds on the side of the road. I mean, really, how difficult is this, people? Do we have to freak out over everything? Stop it. Just take a breather. These people with these headlines, good night. Panic in Austria. Borders are shut to two countries after a disease outbreak. Oh, but not to like the influx of people coming in from all manners of the globe illegally. They said Slovakia has closed 24 borders, introduced strict measures to help prevent the spread of a highly infectious disease. They said it's foot and mouth disease. Again, just don't be gross. Be careful what you eat. I mean, what? Pain. What in the world? People know this. Second measles death reported in Texas. I mean, all of these are just like, Texas AG is investigating Kellogg's over healthy cereal claims. Ken Paxton said that they're investigating Kellogg's over the artificial food dyes in cereals. Why do anybody eat these anyway? Like the Pops and the Fruit Loops or Fruityos.
For nostalgia, probably. I remember as a kid loving it.
I never had Fruit Loops until I moved out on my own and bought a box of fruit. I always had Fruityos. I always had like the great value version of
actually
stuff.
Growing up, you're right. We had Cheerios.
Dude, I did not get cereal in a box, like maybe a couple times. It was always in bags, right? It was always in a bag.
Remember when Kix came out? Kid tested, mother approved.
That's a horrible cereal.
I used to like
Kix
that.
Kix was just a
because all I had was Cheerios up to that point.
Cheerios also was horrible unless you put a cup of sugar in it. It's horrible. Why would anybody eat
Remember
that?
Grape nuts?
Grape nuts are horrible. That's like go out and just you know what, just beat up a squirrel and take its food. That's the same thing.
Love putting sugar in that.
You know what grape nuts is? Squirrels eating nuts and spitting them into the cereal box, and they seal it up at the factory and send it out, and people pay money for it. That's where grape nuts come from.
Today. Huh? I'm not
going to
be the same.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Anyway, just stop eating trash. There's your headline. And then what can I got? But I've got more. What, Dana? We're done with your Darianess today. That's okay. It's but you're not. NASA, by the way, we did miss this last segment, last headlines. NASA, they're saying that there is a mysterious structure on Mars that proves there was life on the red planet. It's a new book out. They said that they've analyzed dozens of photos of structures on the Martian surface, and they are positive that they are man-made. Well, I don't know. If they're watching what our headlines have been for the past 48 hours, actually longer than that, they don't want anything to do with us because the stupidity may be more catching than the hand, foot, and mouth and the measles. Grover Norquist coming up. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house, Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. And it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or visit relieffactor.com.
Oikos presents 15 seconds of strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can also watch the simulcast on Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, where the chat is, all that good stuff. But welcome back. We're at the bottom of the second hour. My favorite thing, I guess, about the whole tariff debate is all the experts that suddenly they all wanted student loan forgiveness and other experts on tariffs. That's what I love, social media, bringing the people who know nothing but proclaim that they're experts on it and you together. So we thought that, you know, maybe we should go to our good friend who actually is an expert on all this stuff. And you guys are very familiar with Mr. Grover Norquist. He's the president of Americans for Tax Reform. And he joins us now. Grover, always good to see you. So now we're here on Monday. It's supposed to be Black Monday. What are your thoughts right now, days into this, on tariffs?
Well, the president's stated goal is to get other countries to reduce the tariff barriers they have on American goods and the non-tariff barriers that are often hidden. China, because it's a dictatorship, can tell any business, don't buy the American stuff, buy the French stuff or something else. And that doesn't show up as a tariff, but it sure shows up in our inability to penetrate that market. So he wants to negotiate down using tariffs as the threat. That said, tariffs are a tax, and they're a tax on American consumers. They're not a tax on China or France. There's a tax paid by American consumers. So there's a cost to this, and there's a cost to China as well if they do the same thing back to us. Chinese tariffs are a cost imposed on Chinese people, not us, on Chinese people. So it's a situation where hopefully the president says that 50 or 60 countries, leaders have called him already and said, I want to talk about how we can do better and come to an agreement. That's very powerful and important and helpful. What this also tells us, with the stock market down significantly and a lot of concern about what if we get stuck with the tariffs instead of using them to do better, we need to get the president's tax cut, the one that passed in 2017, the one that he wants to make permanent, that the House and the Senate have both said, we are going to make this permanent. There's some work to be done on the House and Senate side, but I just got a briefing from the Speaker. He's confident that we will, in fact, get this done, but sooner is better than later.
Yeah.
We need to tell men and women who invest, who have small businesses, who hire people, people looking for jobs, they need to know what their taxes are going to be now, next year, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if they're going to make these decisions. So we need to hurry up and pass what is, in effect, a $5 trillion tax cut, or rather preventing a $5 trillion tax increase as soon as possible. Next couple of months, get that done. And then fighting out the tariff thing is an important project as well.
I'm talking with our friend Grover Norquist. I really wish the sequencing of this was so, and I've talked about this before on the program, was very different from what it was. Like, I feel like, you know, maybe they should have made tax cuts permanent first. And then, you know, in the minds of Americans, they would have been much more amenable to having tariffs instead of now, you know, having double taxation for however long it lasts.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the tariff, if it stays as it's written, is a $6 trillion tax increase on American consumers over the next decade. What we're fighting for is stopping another $5 trillion tax increase and making that permanent. We need to increase the pro-growth parts of the president's tax cut. For instance, back in 2017, when he first became president, he wanted to take the business tax from 35%, highest in the world, stupider than France, higher than China, not where you want to be. He took it from 35 to 21. Okay, but still, with local and state income taxes, we're over 25. We're still higher than China on our tax, how we tax businesses.
That's crazy.
They're the communists. We're not. We have higher taxes. He wanted to take it to 15 originally. We really need to do something that dramatic to get the growth that will get us past the challenges we have now as we negotiate tariffs.
How much of this, because I think especially with tariffs, there's a lot that hinges on some sort of related issues, you know, making the tax cuts permanent. I also think having, you know, obviously a more hospitable business environment here in the United States, because you could undercut a lot of the need for tariffs if you have just better business. I mean, deregulation, less government spending. And it just feels like the success of the tariff gambit is going to depend on things that are kind of almost in some ways out of Trump's control. And that's members of Congress, you know, not just making tax cuts permanent, but a lot of this deregulation and cutting of spending. And I just don't know how realistic that is.
Dana, I agree with you completely. If we want to compete more effectively with Europe, China, other countries, the most important thing we do is take taxes down so we are more competitive, and to get the permitting process, not 5-6 years to build something, but maybe 1 year to get it done. Speeding all that up. Our nuclear power plants should be built very quickly, not years and years late, all because of permitting and regulatory regime, not because of actual building. And on the regulations, we can, and the president's been moving as quickly as he can by executive order. Some of this takes Congress's help, but he's doing a lot through executive orders and so on to deregulate. We reduce the cost of regulations, about $2 trillion in regulatory burdens. Let's take it down by half. That's $1 trillion not being wasted on regulations. Now we can compete with China and Europe. And we don't have to wait on some foreigner to agree in a negotiation while we tax our own people during the negotiation. We can do this ourselves. So I don't want to wait on foreign countries agreeing to something. I'd rather do the things immediately that we can. Cut taxes, less regulations. And by the way, tort law. The trial lawyers walk away with 2% of GDP. Why do we do
that?
Yes. It's one of the few things we do stupider than the rest of the world is our tort law.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that that's a huge thing. Talking with our friend Grover Norquist, how do you view so far the administration's messaging on all of this? I mean, I realize that what we don't know, you know, uncertainty is really driving a lot of this volatility. But how would you grade the administration's messaging to kind of soothe some of that?
Well, I'd have started earlier with what you were trying to do. And the sort of explanation of what they're doing almost came after the tariffs dropped. If we're just negotiating things down, why do we have a 10% across the board tariff against countries like Jordan, with whom we have a free trade zone, because it was part of the Arab-Israeli peace agreements that they were doing. So all of a sudden, they did exactly what we wanted. It was very helpful to the United States, make the place more stable and safer. And they get hit with a 10% as well as somebody who is misbehaving or whatever, and with whom we don't have agreements. So maybe some of that is you just do everything and then you pull it back a little bit to solve where you overstepped. But clearer on what the goal is, and perhaps now we're hearing that maybe there'd be a 3-month hiatus on the higher tariffs, if, you know, so to give people time to negotiate down. We didn't exactly give them a lot of time. They said, okay, this is what happened.
Right.
And they only decided a couple of days before, so it's not like other countries had a chance to look at it and react. We are where we are. It's a pretty big tax increase on American consumers. If we can get it down by negotiating tariffs down, that's very important. But as you point out, less regulation, lower taxes, and permitting that fixes things, and tort reform. These are all ways to reduce the cost of, oh, and I'm sorry, the president's energy abundance issue. I mean, this is where he's done tremendous things, both in the past and now, where we're going to make energy less expensive by letting people drill for oil and natural gas and to move forward on nuclear power. All of these things, what stops them are American bureaucrats, not foreigners, not Russians, not Chinese dictators, American politicians and bureaucrats. They've slowed us down. That's the group that needs to be moved aside and get out of the way of creating jobs for Americans.
Talking with our friend Grover Norquist with taxfoundation.org is the website. This, you know, the debate over tariffs, I get it, you know, the short-term strategy, but how long can you play this game, though? When do you, I mean, I'm asking you, Grover, to look into your crystal ball. You know, what is the, I mean, that's the thing. It's uncertainty. Nobody knows what's going to happen. How long foreseeably can this be sustained?
Well, Argentina sustained it for 100 years.
Wow.
As they declined all the way down.
That part's important.
Tariffs are a barrier to trade, and some countries hide behind the tariffs. So they don't cut their taxes. They don't reform their regulations. They don't do the sorts of things that you need to do, have energy abundance and make that easier, that you need to do to become competitive. And so Argentina went from the richest country in the hemisphere at one point to one of the poorest. And now turning it around, but what are they doing? They're opening up trade, not restricting it. They're reducing tariffs. So I think America's competitive advantage is we need to have lower taxes, less regulations, and a pro-energy policy, unlike the Germans, which have decided to run a world without energy.
Right.
I don't know how
they're going to do that. Or everybody else's energy.
Yes. That's right.
And I want to correct myself. I said the wrong URL. I meant ATR.org, Americans for Tax Reform. ATR.org. I messed that up.
And there's one thing. ATR.org/list is a list of all of the press coverage of the successes of the Trump tax cut 8 years ago. And so where a business said, we're hiring more people, we're paying higher wages because of the Trump tax cut, ATR.org/list, you can see in your state how much jobs and wealth was created by the previous tax cut. We need to continue that and build on it.
Is it possible to, and this is the last question for you, talking with Grover Norquist, isn't it possible, and I hear this from a lot of people within the Trump administration who are laying out the necessity for this strategy and how this is going to, you know, be a positive impact long term. And I've heard some people float the idea that, well, you know, tariffs, ultimately, that's how we funded our federal government. And I get that whole argument. We could, you know, what we could get to a point where we're replacing the income tax with, you know, with tariffs. Yes, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I would love to have an abolishment, obviously, of the IRS and just get out of the income tax business altogether. And let's have like a consumption tax or something. Anything's better than what we have, I think, at this point. But I don't know how that works for a fair market if that's what we're using for our... What is your thought on that?
We, in around 1900, the federal government was about 3% of GDP. It's now almost 10 times that, okay? So it's not like you can switch one for the other. One is very teeny, the taxes and the duties and excise taxes. And the other is very high. Also, of all the taxes, excise taxes are very divisive. It's one of the problems we had with Britain when we started shooting at them. It was one of the problems we had with France and Britain when they were at war and we were doing excise tax things as well. And then in 1832, South Carolina talked about leaving the Union. This is 30 years before the Civil War, and pulled their National Guard out together because of the Tariff of Abominations, because the tariffs were seen as vicious against the South. And the Civil War itself was, to a large extent, also driven by the South's understanding that the tariffs were designed to help the manufacturers in the North and hurt all the agriculture in the South. So tariffs can rip the country apart and have in America had been very damaging. So I'm not sure it's a very good way to raise revenue, but the best way to raise revenue is to not raise revenue, is to reduce the income tax and reduce spending, not raise some other tax, reduce spending. That's what states are doing. There are 8 states that have no income tax. They spend less. They don't have higher other taxes. They spend less. Texas, Florida, Tennessee. There are 12 states that we're working with at Americans for Tax Reform where the governors and the legislatures are moving towards zero. 12 other states, in addition to the 8 that have them, they're not raising other taxes. They're reining in spending. They're growing spending less rapidly. So over time, they're replacing the income tax with not spending. That's what I think we should do at the federal level. Reduce the spending and reduce the income tax. Keep taking the income tax down. When do we stop? When we get tired of it. Keep taking it down towards zero.
I don't think we'll ever get tired of taking down those taxes towards zero. I mean,
I won't.
It'll never happen. Grover Norquist, ATR.org. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll talk again soon. Take care. Have a good week. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the Kel-Tec PR57. Now, I did go get mine. I haven't been able to really fire it yet because it's been busy preparing for some stuff that we got coming up. But very excited to put a few hundred rounds through this. And it's one of the latest from Kel-Tec. I think it's actually genius. It's a really smart 5.7. And if you like 5.7s, you always wanted to carry one. I think for men, obviously, it's a heck of a lot easier for us ladies. We're just built differently. This is the lightest 5.7 that's on the market. It's actually 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. And from Kel-Tec, it's the PR57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7. Low recoil, perfect. It's actually great for everyday carry because it's super thin and super light. They achieve it two ways. The rotary barrel, which makes it super light, and the unique top loading design that replaces traditional magazines with stripper clips. You have a slimmer carry profile, 20+1 capacity. MSRP is only $399. Super, super affordable. It's the first of its kind. Kel-Tec PR57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7. Visit KelTecWeapons.com to learn more. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. KELTEC, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Pastor Alan Jackson encourages Christians to get tough and fight.
The military had been turned into a social experiment. Apparently, they've been looting the coffers in Washington for a long time of hundreds of billions of dollars, terminating the lives of our children. I mean, we all know the litany of things that are happening. It feels like it's going to take a determination from the people of faith if we're going to see this walked back to the place it needs to be for the sake of our children.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, we have one big Florida Man story, which may need its own segment. It has to do with the bully Florida boat captain who got, well, he got wrecked by the internet because he tried to bully a 22-year-old. He's this charter boat captain. He was bullying a young fisherman, and then he jumped on the guy's dinghy and threatened to bash him in the face. Now he faces jail and professional ruin. Why do people do this stuff? I don't think we can play the video because it's really bad. But this is like a whole other segment. He the guy's Brock Horner, Tarpon Coast Fishing Charters. He went after Gage Towles. What is with your people's names? Right. What is happening? Brock, Gage, like what is happening? Towles, it's Mr. and Mrs. Towles' son, not to be confused with the washcloth family. He was on the water after a near miss with a different vessel. Towles posted the footage and he told Horner he had the wrong guy. So apparently Horner thought he did have the wrong guy. And now he faces felony burglary with assault battery, all this stuff. This deserves its own segment, I think. Like, what would you do? Choose your own adventure. So we're going to come back to this one because it's a big one. Let's see. A Florida woman wrestled a gator to snatch a dog from the jaws of danger. She said, I didn't even think because she's hardcore. And that's awesome. Kim Spencer was walking her dog when a gator just ran out of the water, tried to snatch her dog, and she didn't call for help. She jumped in and used her bare hands to pry open the animal's jaws and save her dog. She said, I didn't think, I just moved. And thankfully, you know, everybody's okay, but she is actually going to try now. She's like telling everybody, look, they'll come out of the water faster than you think, which is true. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy has all of the medications that you need without anything being manufactured at all or sourced from China or even India. It's all right here made in the USA, which I think is incredibly important, especially if we're talking about becoming more self-sufficient with things like antibiotics, etc., because that's what All Family Pharmacy does. You don't have to play by Big Pharma's rules. Remember when they tried to shut down actual therapeutics and access to those therapeutics? Remember when they tried to bar you from getting ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and that you were being told that you were crazy if you had those? Yeah, but hey, take this injection. We don't know what it does, but go ahead and take it. They didn't just dismiss the alternatives. They crushed your ability to get them. All Family Pharmacy is about access and affordability. It's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. Straightforward pricing, online ordering. You can get your meds in just 2 to 4 days, or if you need them in a pinch, overnight. Your health is always within reach. I've used them many times before. You can also get your everyday maintenance medications, too. They make it super simple, fast shipping, no gatekeepers, and again, made right here in the U.S. of A. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off using promo code Dana10. Protect yourself and your family today at allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Which is what it should be.
Is there a pain in the market at some point you're unwilling to tolerate this idea of a Trump put? Is there a threshold?
I think your question is so stupid. I mean, I think it's I don't want anything to go down. But sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something.
Well, and I think that the way that he's been explaining it is, I think it's more helpful. The way that he's explaining it, the way that Trump is talking about, you know, the volatility, especially afterwards. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, we're going to talk about what some of this means as it pertains to foreign policy with Stephen Yates coming up. Trump is meeting with Netanyahu. They were going to hold a press conference later. Netanyahu went back, I think it's what, 0 for 0 for tariffs, except for what I understand from vehicles. Not so much with vehicles, though. Because I think if you want to sell cars in Israel, it's an 83% tariff. And then the VAT, the value added tax, the VAT that's on top of that is 18%. So that brings it up to about 118% of the export cost for the car or export price for the car. So, but with about 99% of everything else, the tariffs are down to zero. So that's, and he's meeting with him today, but I don't think they're having their press conference. So welcome back. Top of the, again, this third hour, Dana Lash with you. Substack is the newsletter. Find us at Facebook, YouTube, Rumble is the chat as well. Taiwan's market crashed. I want to talk to Yates about that because that is an ally. That's our chip, our friends in the chip business, the semiconductors. That's a pretty big thing. And I'm wondering what that means in terms of, again, their market more opening up to us, et cetera. And then I worry about China's influence in that area. We'll talk about building them here, but it takes time. We can't just snap our fingers and apparate out of the ether a factory to produce chips. And that's something we've got to build. And apparently, I don't know how long it takes to build a giant semiconductor factory. I mean, if there's money in it, people are going to want to do it. But that's the problem. For there to be money in it, we have to have a more business-friendly climate. And so far, Republicans are doing everything but that. Ask Republicans what they're focusing on right now in Congress. Nobody, they're goofy. Kane, these people are goofy. They're not focusing on the right thing. Whether it's state by state or in D.C., they're not. So it's incredibly frustrating. So we're going to cover some of this stuff here with Yates coming up. Now, also over the weekend, they had these stupid protests. They had all, I don't understand what is happening at these protests. So wait, so they had some protests about immigrants at one Tesla thing, and then in another one, they were like, we don't like Trump and Musk. And then another one still, they were like, you can stand with veterans or Musk. What? I don't even understand what this means. Why are they so insane? Okay, first up, this is the United We Dream. An activist, this was at one of the, again, one of the hands-off things. They're, you see what I mean? They have no cohesive messaging. They're all over the place. So this one female gets up, Grecia Martinez Rosas. She is a national immigration activist, per my notes, and heads the group United We Dream. And, well, these were her remarks. Listen.
My name is Grecia Martinez Rosas. I am an immigrant. I am undocumented, unafraid, queer, and unashamed.
So see, do you know that every other political identifier that you apply to oneself that lessens the severity of any kind of punitive action in chance of wrongdoing?
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So like if you're a female, meh, meh. What if you're a trans female? Oh, okay. Now you're talking. What if you're like a queer trans female? I don't even know what that would be, but I'm just saying. I'm not saying she's trans, but she needs another modifier. I have zero. First off, I have zero empathy for her. Sympathy. Anything. She's been here long enough where she was protected previously and for against deportation by Flores. So she didn't have to worry about all of that. So she could have applied to become a citizen or have a legalized status in the United States, seeing how long she has been here. So I can't feel sorry for people who want to stay in their current situation and have no will at all whatsoever to change it. So I don't feel bad for it. But what does that have to do? What do they mean hands off? Like what are they like these people get up to talk about themselves. It's a never ending doom scroll live. That's what these rallies are. These rallies are nothing more than doom scrolling coming to fruition in meat space. I can't think of anything more heinous. I can't believe somebody also wanted to spend like a perfectly good Saturday doing this stuff. Then you had this dude, right? Transgender audio, somebody 24, trans activist at another hands-off rally. Listen, 24.
Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am Black. I am Filipino-Japanese, second generation. I'm a disabled trans man, but I'm also a Medicaid patient. I'm also
I have three toes.
A person who uses food stamps. I'm also a person who has been through houselessness in this country.
What?
I am also a person who has gone through substance use and addiction.
Oh my God.
And most of all, I am a patient of Planned Parenthood.
But, so, one more. You got a solid
I pen. Am everything that Donald Trump and Elon Musk want to erase.
I don't think they care particularly about your life. You know, in terms of they are going to stop doing the stuff that they're doing and focus on erasing you. What does that even mean? These people have a really high opinion of themselves. First off, you counted nine, right?
Yeah.
Nine.
There was 10, I think.
Intersectional, political. She's like, I have three toes and I'm lactose intolerant. And I also want to be a man and I'm a trans man. Was that right? I can't tell. I don't even know the language anymore.
Peanut allergy.
Yeah. I have a peanut allergy. What else? Why? Who cares about all of this stuff? That doesn't make you specialer than anybody else there. But to the left, it does. The more things that you can rack up on a list, the specialer you are. That's how the left works. Like, you can't just be like a woman and be a Democrat. You have to be like a trans woman, queer trans woman with three toes who, you know, survived a house fire. I don't know. Like, it just, right? It's only burnt like on 30%. I don't understand the never ending boxes to check with these people. I mean, I can't even think of that about me. Everything about you have to overshare in order to do it. I don't like overshare. I don't like sharing, period. But good heavens. Now, then you have this one, Audio Somebody 25. This person's in D.C. They are the gatekeeper for all veterans. Listen, 25.
You can stand with Doge and Trump and Elon Musk, or you can stand for veterans. You cannot stand for both. Now make no mistake.
Wait, what do you mean you can't stand with both? Well, he's the president of all the veterans, that guy. I don't even know who this guy is. It's part of their hands-off thing. By the I don't leftist the left doesn't care about veterans. I honestly, I'm sorry. Abby Gate would like a word. Abby Gate would love to have a word, by the way. Who is this guy? I don't even care. But every single rally, nobody, what was the purpose of them all coming together? Again, it's a 2 minutes hate session. They just wanted to come together and bitch. That's it. Did they change anything over the weekend? Was there any big realization learned? I don't think so. Who's the guy that, I think I put this in, it's the trans dude. This was, the trans Democrat, Tim. Mrs. Tim McBride. Okay. Can we play this one? Because this was in another hands-off rally. Listen.
And we are here today because while we know that Donald Trump thinks that he can place his hands anywhere.
What?
We're telling him, hell no. Hands off our Social Security. Hands off our Medicaid. Hands off Medicare. Hands off SNAP. Hands off our kids. No, hands off women's rights. Hands off LGBTQ rights.
So the irony of a man acting like, no, we're telling Trump to keep his hands off of women's rights. The idea of a man doing this, the guy who dresses up as a woman and who he cosplays as a woman and mocks feminine, mocks the essence of what it is to be a woman.
That was hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so.
Yeah. But I just, when they say hands off Social Security, well, you guys already took it. So it's gone. I mean, it's been insolvent for forever. I mean, story after story, warning after warning, you guys spent it. Al Gore talked about putting it in a lockbox that, you know, had no bottom, just the way he likes his masseuses. And they robbed you blind of Social Security. So that they've already had their hands all over it. When they bristle over Social Security, they bristle over the idea that you would actually be able to keep your own money. So that's number one. Number two, is this how they really think the government's operating? Because that explains so much stupidity about the left. Every single one of these rallies, there was no central theme. There was no central mission. It was all over the place. They had no goal except to get together and complain. And I don't know if they realized that last election, voters were tired of Democrats just getting together and holding 2 minutes hate sessions. They were done with it. They were tired of hearing Democrats complain about Trump and everything else. And not offer any solutions. And here Democrats did it again. Lovely spring Saturday, and they decide to gather in various cities across the country and do it again. No solutions offered. You have this guy sitting here lecturing about women's rights, the irony of ironies. I don't understand the point of this. I wouldn't want to, that's not, you're, no one's rights are being eliminated. No one's being deprived or being denied of anything. But especially the guy who's the gatekeeper for the veteran. Yeah, Abby Gate would like a word. I just don't understand the whole, when we got together for like Tea Party events back when we kicked off and founded the second coming of it, every single protest had a purpose. the messaging and grassroots, we'd all talk with each other, but we wanted a singular focus, whether it was, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, whether it's the idea of too big to fail, whether it's about, you know, the cash for clunkers. Every single event had a singular focus and a singular item of action after the rally. So in the event of, you know, too big to fail and all of that, there were action plans at rallies that we all, you know, on phone calls and meetings leading up to this devised, like, this is what people need to do after the rally. The rally is supposed to be the thing that kicks off your motivation and gives you some context, gives you the perspective. And then after that, that's when you hit up your congressional member's office or send out an email or call their offices or talk to them, whatever. And everyone was kind of aligned. There was a purpose for it. It wasn't just like, let's everybody get together and have a political kegger and bitch and moan for however, you know, all afternoon. That was not the purpose of any rally I ever attended or ever planned. We were passing out handbills for people to get in touch with their lawmakers about these specific issues. Every single speaker had to adhere to driving home that message. This is our message. This is the issue that we're talking about today. We kept it really singular, really focused. We're not going to like run all over God's green earth and talk about every issue under the sun. We're going to keep it very simple and very focused so that we can better harness direct action. And it was incredibly successful. That is not what they're doing. Like, ours had a purpose. They're just getting out there and yelling. And it's the same stuff that we saw leading up to the election. And you saw how successful that was for them. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Let's see. So the computer that runs on human neurons, the CL1 biological computer manufactured by an Australian company. Oh, wait, here's the fun part. Lab-grown brain cells are the basis for the functioning. I don't like that. That's what we're going to become. We're all going to be robots, tasteless robots. It's the computer that runs on human neurons. So they say that they promise that they can deliver a more fast-paced and energy-efficient computing system. They are these millimetric chips composed of silicon semiconductors, and they've been making them with, here gets weird, carbon nanotubes. But the riskiest proposal, Kane, was the lab-grown brain cell. The basis for the functioning of the CL1. I mean, I'm intrigued, but no. Right? What if they're like girl brain cells and then you ask it to do math? It's going to be girl math. I'm kidding. Am I, though? Let's just offend everybody. I don't care. Let's see. Also, a Walmart shopper stole $20,000 of items with a trick at self-checkout, which in a video turned him in. They were able to get him because people change stickers on stuff all the time. They go through the self-checkout and then you know, they think they're getting away with it. Yeah. Stephen Yates coming up next. As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, and they don't want to make your money work against you. See, if you have not switched, you're funding all the stuff that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. With Patriot Mobile, you get exceptional nationwide coverage, access to all three major U.S. networks. You also can add two numbers on two networks on one phone. Now, the big carriers can't do this, but Patriot Mobile can. They also have flexible, unlimited data plans designed to fit your lifestyle. All kinds of stuff. Mobile hotspots, high-speed data, international roaming, device protection, internet backup, the whole nine yards. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. It is up to you. Seamless switching with their U.S.-based customer support team. You can get activated in minutes, and you're supporting what you believe in. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. We haven't had really anything to talk about today. The Black Friday that never really happened, you know, I mean, things like that. You can listen, obviously, terrestrially. Channel 347 is the simulcast, and you can find us chats at Rumble as well. Our very good friend, Stephen Yates, who's always in a weird, undisclosed bunker. We like our lives, so we're not going to pester him as to where he's broadcasting from, because he knows all the buttons to push and knows all the calls to make, and he's in blur land right now joining us. Skype still, or are they out now? Zoom now. It's all Zoom now. And as you know, Mr. Yates served in not one, but two presidential administrations, and he's now currently the senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And he's an expert foreign policy with a particular emphasis on China. And he joins us now. Good to see you, my friend. Okay, I've got a million other things to ask, but I want to start right away. Is China going to invade Taiwan because they think D.C. is too busy?
I don't think they will, but I think we have to live every day as if it's going to happen. And so I think that whether it's invasion of Taiwan or tariffs or whatever it is, the China shock is now baked into the cake and people should be adjusting accordingly. After all, we have not been, you know, we've been talking about this for more than 10 years, mm-hmm. You and I and many others. And if people haven't adjusted by now, well, it's sort of shame on them. But whether it's this invasion scenario, which would be a disaster for China, but also painful for us, or the economic stuff going out of control, we're kind of here where the rubber hits the road.
That can, because I know you have remarked on that as well. I was actually going to pull up one of the posts I think that you had on that, because I get that some in the CCP think that DC might be spread too thin. We have tariffs, we're broke, you know, and they're highlighting that point, but they are also not doing great economically, which makes me, and we've talked about this before, but because it's come up because the tariff war, and there's been a lot of speculation that, oh, you know, Taiwan with the semiconductor chips and, you know, being so incredibly important to U.S. infrastructure. Oh, this is a great time for the CCP to do something. But unless it's changed dramatically since the last time you and I talked about China's economy, they're not doing too great, at least not great enough to attempt something like that.
No, I think it's actually worse for them. if you take the military part of it out of the equation, they've got a property bubble, they've got a demographic decline, they have banking insolvency questions, they don't have a convertible currency. They are dependent on a lot of inputs. They are the middle of a supply chain for a lot of the world, but not the source of everything. Mm-hmm. And so if things go bad in the world or for them, a lot of those things come to a halt. And that is just politically fatal for the Communist Party of China, which I wouldn't shed a tear over, but that's a lot of suffering for the Chinese people. Again, not my first concern, but it's going to disrupt our lives too.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that they will wake up and be wise and make a deal with the deal maker in chief that is good for America and good for stability. But I also think that we should be rebalancing all of our supply chains out of China yesterday.
Yes.
And get on with that.
Taiwan's market kind of went into free fall, kind of. It did. It dropped after the tariffs after they were announced, go into effect, what, I think in a couple of days, the first round and the second round of the high-value tariffs. Is there concern about that volatility and how that affects Taiwan as an ally? And again, as you know, world's number one source for these chips, because I would think that we don't want to make it more difficult for Taiwan. And they've already, they're already like, we don't want any tariffs on anything. They're one of the very, one of the countries along with Vietnam and several others in Southeast Asia that have said, we don't want to have tariffs on U.S. products. So I'm hoping that that's being taken into consideration with all of this coming out of D.C. Does that concern you?
Well, all of it concerns me in the sense that I've seen people kind of grow their way out of martial law into a multi-party democracy. They've been good and faithful partners in economics and security and other areas with the United States and are good allies in that neighborhood. I hate to see people who seem to be making a lot of the right decisions have to face bad consequences because they live on an island that can't sail away from Red China. But at the same time, I think their president, Lai Ching-te, made an amazing statement when he basically said they want to have zero tariffs across the board, yeah, want to buy more from the United States, and basically have a comprehensive economic partnership with us and are ready to come negotiate. Basically, should be setting the standard, and I think the White House would say yes, except they're stuck with 50-plus years of, are they a country? Can we meet with them? So they've got that to deal with. But on substance, it was a perfect response, and I think the combination of that and Japan should be the best kind of resolve for that first island chain, and we'll see how the uncertainty with China plays out.
Yeah, we're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. China, speaking of them, they initiated a dispute with the World Trade Organization saying they're unhappy with these tariff measures. They think that they are violating the World Trade Organization rules. The irony of ironies, Stephen, with China making this claim.
Well, it's just perfect for them to go to another institution that they've lied to and broken and act as if it's going to come to some kind of defense for them.
Yeah.
It's sort of like they lied to and broke the World Health Organization and now want to complain about other countries getting the flu. And so at this point, I think it's just more of the same from them. They seem to be caught in like a season two of a series, but they are still in season one and haven't flipped the script yet. And so they're going to have to get new talking points and a new reality soon. Or I think we might be at a point where we're finally doing the right thing, which is leave them behind, deal with the responsible countries of the world, reinvigorate our manufacturing with our closest trusted neighbors and partners, and just basically move on from this bad experiment.
Yeah, I completely agree. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates, a couple of more things that I want to bring up with you, kind of switching gears from China and looking at Europe. Ursula von der Leyen, head of the EU, came forward, said they're interested in coming into a zero to zero tariff discussion with the administration. I mean, I'm not going to celebrate it until the ink's dry, but that seems like a pretty big win so far this early on into this. I mean, they haven't even kicked into effect yet.
I'm inclined to be gracious for people who are inching in the right direction with their rhetoric. That's another thing to actually come and iron out a deal. And whether it's the European Union, China, or others, and including some of our friends, tariffs are just one of the things that need to get addressed. There's a lot of what the specialists call non-tariff barriers, which might be subsidies or other kind of distortions. And Europe has a fair amount of those. And it sure as heck matters an awful lot whether they're going to commit to fundamental things like free speech, too.
Yeah,
that's going to have to affect where we go with artificial intelligence and true trusted networks in terms of communication. communications going forward. But I'll just take yes with thanks in moving incrementally in the right direction from a continent we haven't been hearing good news from for too long.
Yeah, we haven't heard any good news coming out of them from the EU and for forever. She's a weird kind of I mean, I don't trust Van der Leyen at all. However, I do think that she can read the tea leaves, so to speak. And she's been a lot more amenable to more European conservative leaders like Maloney and others than I would say prior heads of the EU have been. So I don't know. I'm not optimistic by nature, but it seems, you know, it seems like this. I'm going to view it as a partial success. One quick thing. I actually do want to go back to the Pacific region because I wanted to ask you, and I had this in my notes to bring up to you. What is happening with South Korea's government right now? There are conservative movements in almost every nation right now around the world. And we've been watching them, whether mostly focusing on Europe, but in South Korea, they've been battling over this ideology as well. Tell us what's happening, because this is an ally in this area. We like the relations with South Korea. We would like for them to, you know, be a more conservative, you know, governing body. Is that going to be the case going forward? What's the lay of the land there?
No, I guess the first threshold is that in terms of military to military and our alliance, nothing has really changed on that. It's as healthy as it's been, has room for growth, but mostly okay. Politically, South Korea has lived up to the Korean reputation for being Asia's leader in drama, and it has played that out to a fare thee well. Now, the impeached president that's been affirmed by the Constitutional Court, so it's final, it's done. The only thing now is the question, I think, of his sentencing. But Yoon was center-right. He was a good partner with the incoming Trump administration, did some good things in normalizing elements of relations with Japan, all of that. But he got caught up in corruption charges. And, you know, frankly, almost every leader of Korea gets caught up in something like that, where a majority of these one-term presidents end up dead, impeached, wow, or otherwise prosecuted. There's only one that sort of slipped through that. So it's a sad tale in terms of South Korean democracy, but they're going through that. They now have 60 days to have a new election for a new president. They had also impeached an acting president, the former prime minister. That impeachment was not upheld by the Constitutional Court. So that caretaker government is in place through this next election. It's kind of even odds, maybe net benefit to the Democratic Party in South Korea for them to take control of the Blue House there. But we'll see. 60 days of wild, woolly, dramatic Korean politics. But they've got an impeached president. And, you know, we're hoping for the best in terms of the economic and other things. Samsung, yeah, and others have promised a lot of investment in the United States. Political stability there would be a nice step in the right direction to keep those economic engines going with the good part of the world.
Are the corruption accusations, well, now, I mean, he's impeached, so they, you know, it's pretty much settled science at this point. But is it, because I think now people on the right are immediately suspicious when they hear about this involving high level conservative leaders, because after what happened with Trump in New York and then this Marine Le Pen stuff, I mean, I just immediately am suspicious of it.
I am too, and I have not seen anything in terms of evidence. No one's asked me to dive into the evidence to be able to say, you know what, this is more than a smoking gun. This fire burned my hands, and it's worthy of an impeachment. It went through their process. Parts of the president's own party felt it was bad enough. And all I can do is sort of leave it at that. That's where the process has gone. But I do try to warn all of our allies, no matter what side of politics they're on, recalls and impeachments and those things should be last resorts. You know, we need to have normal processes where people focus on getting to the ballot box and voting. That's what I want in America. That's what I want our friends. And these other things, I think, are very disruptive and hard to understand.
Yeah, agreed. Stephen Yates at Yates Comms. You make it very easy, though, for us to understand and follow along. So we appreciate you. We really appreciate you doing that. Yates Comms on X. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. You're always so generous with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So I was watching the video of the fencer that refused to compete against a dude, a female fencer. Now there is a disc golfer video of Abigail Wilson, who is a women's disc golfer, has emerged. She refused to play against a man in a women's league on Friday. Watch this.
Make some noise for Abigail Wilson.
Abby.
Females must be protected by religion. It's not fair. I refuse to play.
Woo! She refuses to do it.
Yeah!
Wow, you hear that? Somebody just yelled, enjoy the couch.
Yeah, running real women out of women's sporting events. And, I mean, it's just, that's, I mean, good for her for doing that. She would, and this was in Nashville, Tennessee. It was at the MVP Music City Open. And that's officially sanctioned by the Disc Golf Pro Tour and the Professional Disc Golf Association. And when her name was called, she went up. She did not let go of the disc, though. So she picked it up and she wound up her toss, and she did not let go of the disc when she flung her arm forward. And that's when she turned around, and you saw in the video, she said, females must be protected in our division. And good for her. She shared her protest on Instagram. She said she refused to play because women should be protected and it's unfair. She said, I've had to work so hard to get to this point. And now there's men and there's a guy who's competing. And guess what? The guy's dominating because they're treating the women's league like a rec league. They're treating it like JV. It's going to take women doing this in every sport for it to stop. It is. It really is. It is. It's gonna take women in every sport doing this, whether it's fencing, whether it's disc golf, all of it. And I know it's hard for them to do, especially when there's awards on the line and scholarships on the line. And I mean, it's very difficult. So kudos to these women who are doing this. Now, I will be off air tomorrow. I'm traveling for an affiliate event. We're having an event with WRVA, our affiliate in Richmond, on Wednesday. I'm traveling Tuesday and Thursday, and then I'm back in this studio on Friday. It resumes, normalcy resumes. So I'll be off air tomorrow, on air Wednesday, off air Thursday, because that's the travel. Back normal on Friday. In the meantime, today in Stupidity came.
All right, Juan, this is Cut 25. This is a DC protester with that hands-off stuff over the weekend. Apparently, walking you can do. And chewing gum you can do, but you cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. Listen to what he says here.
You can stand with Doge and Trump and Elon Musk, or you can stand for veterans. You cannot stand for both.
I am confused. You can, though. I'm thoroughly confused because you totally can. And many veterans do.
Yeah, they can and they do. Yeah, believe it or not, they do. That guy's not the gatekeeper.
That was, by the way, the baseline intelligence that we got from all of the speakers over the weekend for the hands-off anti-Trump, anti-Doge.
It's also dumb.
Protests.
It's also incredibly dumb. And there was no, I can't tell you what they were all protesting about. They just don't like Musk and Trump. We know that much. Yeah. I will be on Laura Ingraham's show tonight on Fox in the 6 p.m. Central hour. In the meantime, have a great night. I'll be back behind the mic with you on Wednesday, back behind the mic and camera on Friday.